This lesson is entitled, well, first of all, it's lesson number TBP, number 14, and this lesson then is entitled, The Name of Jesus.
Would you please open your Bibles to John chapter 16 tonight, please? We've been talking about, for some time now, the prayer of faith. It seems like we just keep going, but we haven't been repeating ourselves, so I guess that's okay. Just by way of review, we've been talking about six or seven steps to praying the prayer of faith. Number one, if you recall, was to find out that thing you desire. Number two was to find out where in the Word that is promised, so that you have God's Word on it. If it's not in the Word, then you need to seek God for His particular will in this situation. And when you know what God's will is, either through His Word or through His Word revealed to you, then take that Word and meditate on it. And meditate on it until when you pray, you can believe you receive. Because remember, our main text is Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, well, he said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, and then you shall have them. So the third step then was to meditate on the Scripture. The fourth step was to get rid of any blockages. We talked about that last time, the time before. In other words, any sin or anything that would block God answering your prayer. Then number five was pray. Pray in the name of Jesus to your Heavenly Father for the thing which you desire. And that's where we are tonight. That's what we're going to discuss. And then step six was to believe you receive when you pray. And then finally, after you've prayed, to let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. And that's to be done from the time you have prayed until the manifestation comes. Okay? So that just kind of sets tonight, shows you where we are. So we're talking about now tonight praying in the name of Jesus. So John 16:23. Says, Jesus is talking now, and he's talking to his disciples. As a matter of fact, this is the longest record we have of Jesus speaking. All chapter, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night of the Last Supper, or the night he was betrayed, or the night before the crucifixion. And so he has a lot to say to them. He's getting ready to go away, and he keeps telling them, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He has a lot of things he's telling them. And so it's good to keep in mind that this is one continuous discussion here. It's through John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Okay, and we're going to find out why it's important to keep that in mind in just a second. So, but John 16, 23 is a widely quoted scripture. And it says, and in that day, Jesus said, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So when I was a pretty new Christian, that was one of the first scriptures I became acquainted with. As soon as I was born again, I mean within the first week I was born again, I could sense that things were really different. I had been wrong my whole life about what was required for salvation. I went to a church that really didn't preach the salvation message. And every Sunday, I think I shared this with you, I would pray this prayer, Father, or I didn't even say Father because I didn't have a father, I just said, God, help me to live my life in a manner most consistent with sharing everlasting happiness with you in heaven, whatever that is. And I didn't know. Well, soon he showed me. You know, he wouldn't let that prayer be unanswered. And over a period of time, he brought literature to me, and finally one Sunday afternoon, reading a book in my front yard. Mary Ann and the kids had gone on a ride in the car. And when I say front yard, we lived in California up on the side of a hill, so it was very private. I was born again, reading this book. And so I prayed. I said, Father, I just need to be taught. And I don't know where to go. You know, this church doesn't teach anything that I've ever heard that's consistent with your Bible here. I never got born again through this church, but I need to know. So tapes started showing up in my mail, just cassette tapes. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. I didn't request them. They just started coming. And one of the first tapes was John, preached on John 16:23, that Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now let's just look at what that verse says there. Very important. There's three conditions in here that says, God, if you do these three things, they're conducive to having your prayer answered. One is, pray to the Father. Isn't that what he said? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Didn't say to ask Jesus, said ask the Father. Now, I don't think it's much of a problem in this church, but some churches, even charismatic churches, they're praying to Jesus. You know, Jesus never said, you know, never once in the New Testament does it say pray to Jesus. I think most of us know that. But, you know, when you're teaching the Bible, you can't let these little things go. You understand what I'm saying? This becomes very important, you know. And it is important. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, not to the Jesus. Now, if you just listen, you know, even in our songs in church, you'll hear songs that we're praying to Jesus and doing things, you know. It seems like it's throughout songs and in habit and things like that. But Jesus said, what? Pray to the Father, right? And when his disciples asked Jesus how to pray, what did he say? Pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our Father. And in Paul, way back in Ephesians, when he's praying, chapter 3, he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we praise Jesus. You know, we talk to Jesus. We fellowship with Jesus. But when we pray for petitions, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's important. Okay, so one thing here, he says, pray to my Father. Number two, he says, pray in my name. What is his name? I mean, Jesus has got lots of names, you know. Jesus, Christ, Messiah, Lamb of God, Bright Morning Star. I mean, there's all kinds. Lion of Judah, Prince of Peace. We could go on and on about names that have been ascribed to Jesus. But what is his name? Why is it important that we pray in his name? What name is that that we pray in? You know, in the church we were just in, you know, and I'm not coming down on them, but I mean, it was incredible that the elders in the church, when they were called on to pray, would get all done with a long prayer and say, in thy name we pray, or in his name we pray. Well, who's his? Who's thy? The enemy, when he hears that, he loves that. There's no power in that prayer. Where's power? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and we'll find out. Well, this may seem like small potatoes, you know, but it's not. It's really important because there's only one name that's above every name. A name given by God. Hebrews 1:4 says Jesus was given this name by inheritance. This is a name that was reserved in heaven, never used until this time, until this person came. This is a special name that only one person ever had that had power associated with it. It's been saved for this one person. And what is that name? Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And this is talking about before Jesus came to the earth. He was equal with God, right? He is God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, or because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of, now there you are, there's the name. What name is it? Jesus. That's the name we pray to the Father in. Jesus. That's the only name that shakes hell, heaven, and earth. Okay? That's the name. Now, we know this, but let's nail it down. That is the name. It's not his. There's no power in his. There's no power in thy. You don't pray in the name of Christ. That's not his last name. His name is Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. His name is Jesus. That's where the power is. That's the name God reserved for him, that at the name of Jesus. I mean, just hearing the name of Jesus sends a thrill through you. That's the name. I remember after I got saved, I was a Catholic and I decided to, well, man, this is really, my whole life was upside down, wonderful. All things that have bothered me for years were falling off. I mean, my marriage was better. Everything was better. So I decided that, I was a Catholic, I decided I'm going to go Mass every morning. You know, this is what I should do. I just wanted to get close to God, whatever it was. And so I started going to Mass every morning. And this priest up there, he's saying Mass, and he may not even be born again for all I know. But every time he'd mention Jesus, I about came off my seat, just hearing the name. And I went up afterwards, and I talked to him. I went back where he was, and when he was taking his garments off and so forth and getting out of them after Mass, and I said, and I'm not the kind of person that does this. You know, I'm not a real outgoing guy. People that know me very well, I'm just kind of, Marianne handles the social stuff. I kind of stay at home, do my thing, and let her do all the interfaces with people pretty much, you know. Not all of it, but people that know me know that's pretty true. So I went in there and I talked to him, you know, and that was unusual for me. And I said, I just want you to know that I appreciate what you said. And he says, what did I say? And I said, every time you said the name of Jesus, what a wonderful, the way you preached when you said Jesus, and it wasn't the way him preaching, it was just the name of Jesus. I was a new Christian and Jesus was just going through my whole, I couldn't hear it, but just coming unglued inside. That's the name. When you pray, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You know that. I know you know that, but I'll just nail it down today. Pray in Jesus' name. I heard it so many times in this other church. Charismatic, Spirit-filled church where you never heard the name of Jesus in prayer very often. It used to bug me, to be honest with you. I mean, they get all done with a good prayer and you're going, okay, you know, and in thy name. In his, the power was right there. Jesus, there's the power. All right, so we pray in Jesus' name. Now, that's the second thing Jesus said to do here, okay? And he said, pray in that day. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Well, what day is that? Well, if you turn back to John 14, let's just do that real quick. You see in verse 19, Jesus said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me. See, we're talking about seeing him now. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So the day he's talking about that we can pray this prayer is when he's in us and we're in him, according to verse 20. That's now, right, if you're a believer. Aren't we in him, in the body of Christ? Isn't he in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so I'm not going to spend any time on this, but now we're in the day. The disciples, when he told them this right then, that wasn't the day yet. Nobody was born again yet. Jesus wasn't in anybody yet. So Jesus is saying in verse 22 of John 16, or 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Now that's the day we're living in now. We just saw that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, is this true? Is it true that if we ask him, pray to the Father, pray in Jesus' name, is that true what I just read here? It's true, isn't it? But the thing is, it's true. You know, it's like math. You know, I majored in math for a while. And I had this professor that was nuts. I mean, I somehow got into be a math major before I got into engineering where they apply math. This was just theoretical math, which made no sense to me, you know, just proof after proof on the blackboard. And this guy used to sit up there with a cigarette hanging out of the corner of his mouth in college, writing all these equations on the board, ashes dropping on the floor, and he said, now this is a necessary condition, this is a necessary condition, this is a necessary condition, going through these proofs. And he'd get clear to the bottom, and he said, and this is a necessary and sufficient condition. And that was the end of the proof. See, when he was doing these mathematical proofs, there's necessary conditions for this to be true. But then when you get all the necessary conditions lined up, you have the necessary and sufficient conditions to prove. Now, the only reason I'm saying this is because if you look at John 16:23, what we have is three necessary conditions for having your prayers answered. And when I was a brand new Christian, this worked for me. And we went on a trip right after I got saved. I mean, we rented a motorhome and we took off. And we went up to Northern California, and Sean was about 6 months old then, and the girls were about 7 and 5, I guess. And I had just heard this tape on praying in the name of Jesus. And the girls got earaches, I remember that. We had to take them to the doctor on the way. And Sean was a little baby, and he was crying at night in the little motor home we rented. And I'm laying up there in this little bunk over the cab with Marianne, and Sean would start crying in the night, and I'd say, Father, in the name of Jesus, cause Sean to stop crying. He would stop instantly when I prayed that prayer. And I'm laying up there and I'm going, this is wonderful. I mean, the world doesn't know about this name of Jesus and praying in the name. This is wonderful. And the girls, you know, their earaches, they start hurting, and we even took them to a doctor on the way. And I finally just walked up and I put my hand on and said, in the name of Jesus, command the earache to leave. And all the pain left. I mean, I'm going along there and I'm thinking, how can the world not know about this, you know? And everything we prayed, you know, Marianne, after that, would occasionally get a migraine. I couldn't wait to run up to her, put my hand on her, say, in the name of Jesus, pain go away. Well, I don't mean it quite the way it sounded. But I remember one time I came in and she'd had one all day and I thought, great, in a way, because that's what's going now, you know. I just knew it because, and it went immediately. Now, this was wonderful. Came a day and all of a sudden did the same thing the same way and all of a sudden nothing happened. And I'm going, wait a minute, you know, okay, let's try this again. Let's do it again. And nothing happened. I thought, this has been working wonderfully. What's going on here? Now, the reason I'm going to share this with you, and it might, some of you may have experienced this too, the three conditions we just talked about are necessary conditions for prayer to be answered in the name of Jesus, but they're not sufficient conditions. In other words, there's something yet missing that I was automatically fulfilling as a new Christian and didn't know it. Okay? Now, we got to keep in mind that Jesus is speaking throughout these several chapters. Okay? Now, let's just take a little analogy here, okay? If you look at C number 2 here, let's just read this little thing I got down here. Example. It's my birthday and we're talking on the phone, okay? Early in our conversation, you tell me that you've called Joe's Sporting Goods, talked to a guy named Bill, and bought me a fishing rod and charged it to your credit card. And you say this, just go to Joe's Sporting Goods, give Bill my name, and tell him you want to pick up the rod I bought. Then we go on and talk a little bit, and later in the conversation, you say again, don't forget, if you ask Bill in my name, he'll give you the rod I purchased for you. So I go out, walk up and down the street, finally find a guy named Bill, and ask him for the fishing rod in your name and don't get it. How come? Well, it's true, you said ask in my name, but there's something else he also said there. Go to Joe's Sporting Goods, not just any old guy named Bill, okay? Well, we're going to find out, if you turn back to John chapter 15, that Jesus has been talking here for a long time, and he said something else about prayer. All right? In verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then verse 12. Then he says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Okay, so he's saying here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're bearing fruit. All right? And what is these words to abide in us, Jesus? Well, he goes on, if you go down to verse 12, he tells you, this is my commandment that you love one another as I've loved you. All right? And then he goes to verse 16 and says, basically, if you read this, you do all these things. He says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask my Father in my name, he may give it you. In other words, by doing these things, you make it possible for God to give you these things. What are these other conditions? Well, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now see, that's just like that analogy I gave. There's something else Jesus was already said that by the time you get to John 16:23. That is understood that goes with this. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He's still talking. So there's a couple conditions that if you just read John 16:23, you'll miss. Unless you go back and read John 15 too. And that is that we need to, number one, abide in him. Now if you're a Christian, you're already abiding in him, right? We're in him. We're in the body of Christ. If we're Christians. So that's not a problem. But the second one, if my words abide in you. You know, I was reading this the other day and it came to me this way. When we're abiding in Jesus, that's when we make Jesus Savior. When his words abide in us, that's making Jesus Lord of your life. You understand what I'm saying there? So the thing that was missing was the fact that I was automatically, as a young Christian, abiding at whatever word I knew at that time. That's all I was responsible for. You know, as a brand new Christian. As time went on, I learned a few things. I went to church. I found out that I needed to be tithing. I found that I needed to have a right relationship with my wife. That I'm not supposed to be in strife. I'm supposed to walk in love. I'm supposed to raise my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, as you go along, you learn more things. And you're responsible for more. Isn't that right? Well, then, in the very beginning, to abide in His Word, since I knew so little Word, that wasn't much to do. And so I went through kind of a lull in my prayer life, so to speak. I became aware of a lot of things. You're listening to these tapes that I wasn't yet really abiding in. You understand what I'm saying? I knew it, but I hadn't yet picked up on it. Like tithing, that was still rolling around in my mind a little bit, probably. Or, you know, Marianne and I had to get a few things straightened out. You know, I mean, I came from a kind of a Marine drill sergeant type of approach to marriage, which doesn't work very well. So I went kind of through a lull. What happened? And then as I began to learn and to put these things into practice and start doing the Word, abiding in His Word, all of a sudden the prayer of name of Jesus started working again. And I never understood what the reason was until just recently. Now, I had some other things I wanted to say, but we just don't have time tonight. You kind of see what I'm saying here? You know, if we take the reason I'm bringing this up is not to downgrade John 16:23, anything other than that. But we need to have some explanations sometimes for why things didn't work sometimes when we thought we did everything. And if you just read John 16:23 and you go, pray to the Father, did that, pray in Jesus' name, did that, it's in that day, did that, how come? Well, see, that would be too simplistic, really, wouldn't it? If that's all that was required, I could go out here and say, in the name of Jesus, I command every tree in the woods back there to flip upside down. I mean, I would fulfill all those requirements. I'd be praying to the Father, praying in Jesus' name, and it's in that day. How come it didn't happen? Well, see, that's just kind of a dumb example. But really, if you take and put this, if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. See, nowhere in the Word does it say anything about that kind of prayer being answered. You understand what I'm saying? This kind of stuff helps me. Because I don't like to have loose ends out there. I like to know why if my prayers aren't being answered, I want to know why. I don't want to just say, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's defeatist. That'll damage your faith. So when things aren't happening, we need to find out what's going on. In this case, it just means going back and reading the chapter before it. You know? Okay. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's all true, Father God. We thank You that when we rightly divide Your Word, it works. And we thank You, Father God, for showing us that. Thank You, Father.
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. This is a new method of praying. We talked about the prayer of faith in our last lesson, and now we're going to talk about praying in the name of Jesus. This is another method of prayer. Here's our homework. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are obeying the direction of blank given in blank. What goes in those blanks? And that last blank needs to be the scripture. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are obeying the direction of Jesus given in John chapter 16, verse 23. Now let's just, since that's our text, let's just read this verse. Let's start in verse 22. And this is Jesus speaking. And He says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." And so that's our text. John 16:23. So here we go. Next question, true or false? Praying in Jesus' name is a specific type of prayer that is directed specifically to Jesus. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, because Jesus said what? "In that day you shall ask me nothing." So He's saying, don't ask me. There's a day coming when I'll see you again. In other words, He's going to be with the Father. He's going to be crucified, and He's going to be raised from the dead, and He's going to go sit at the right hand of the Father. And in that day, when we know Him again, see Him again, and He's going to see His disciples again too, don't forget, after He rose from the dead, In that day you shall ask me nothing. So in other words, there's a new type of prayer coming after Jesus is resurrected from the dead that we can pray in. And he's saying, whatsoever we shall ask the Father in his name, he will give it to us. So this question is false, because we said praying in Jesus' name is a specific type of prayer that is directed specifically to Jesus, and that is false. This prayer is not directed to Jesus. It's in Jesus' name. It's directed to the Father, right? So that's false. Next question, true or false? Using this type of prayer, we might say, Father, I ask you for healing for my body. In thy holy name, I pray. True or false? Well, that's false. It's true that we're supposed to pray to the Father, so that part's all right. Father, I ask you, that's okay. But then we say, in thy holy name, I pray. Which name are we supposed to be praying in? Not thy, in Jesus' name. So it's not in the Father's name we're praying, it's in Jesus' name. So that's false. Next question, true or false? No, it's better to say, in his holy name I pray, because it's Jesus' name we're referring to, not the Father. Well, it is true that it's Jesus' name we're supposed to be referring to, but it's false because it's not in his name we pray. So that's false too. You can see how confusing this gets when we're not specific in praying the way Jesus told us to pray. So that's false. It's not, we don't pray in his holy name, we don't pray in thy holy name, and we'll get to just a second what we do pray in. Next question, true or false? No, the proper way to pray is to say, in Christ's name I pray, because it's in his Son's name we are to be praying, not the Father's name. Well, it's true it's in his Son's name we're to be praying, but it's not Christ's name we pray either, so that's false. We're going to get to the what's true, but I'm just trying to emphasize the things we're not supposed to do. Sometimes by emphasizing what we're not supposed to do, it's easier than to see later what we're supposed to do. So that's false. The proper way to pray is not in Christ's name we pray, although we do every day hear people praying this way. And just hold with me and we'll get to how we are supposed to pray. What is the name we are to use that has all the power wrapped up in it? What is the name we're supposed to use? The name we're supposed to pray in is the name Jesus. That is Jesus' name. That seems silly, doesn't it? Jesus is Jesus' name. But people get so mixed up in this. They pray, in thy name we pray, in his name we pray, in Christ's name we pray. And we're going to talk a minute why Christ is not correct either. It's just Jesus. How do we know? Okay, how do we know that Jesus is the name we're supposed to pray in? Well, first of all, in John 16:23, and that's our verse, Jesus said we are to pray to the Father in his name. His name is Jesus, not Christ, not his, not thy. Christ means the anointed one. It's not Jesus' last name, okay? His name is actually Jesus. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 1, and let's just nail this down, okay? Matthew chapter 1, and it's when the angel has come to Mary, and he says to her, let's see, where it is, Matthew verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20. Talking about Joseph. But while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what is it? Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus' name is Jesus, okay? That is his name. Not Christ, not his, not thy, not, we don't pray for his sake. We pray in the name of Jesus. That is the name that God gave Jesus, and that is the name that has the power in it. Now let's turn one more place before we get off this subject. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verses 5 through 10. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, let's read verses 5 through 10. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, talking about Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's because he was God, right? But he made himself of no reputation, and Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. Okay, we're getting close now. That at the name of, what's in there? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when we pray, we must pray in the name that has the power, the name that's actually that God named Jesus with, and it's Jesus. Or you could say Jesus Christ, which means Jesus, the Christ. But you've got to have Jesus in there. That's the name. That's his name. That's the name that God highly exalted him with. And he gave him this name, which is above every name. What name is above every name? That at the name of Jesus, not thy, not his, not Christ, the name of Jesus is the name at which every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. See, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray in that name that has all the power resident in it. And that's the name of Jesus. That's the name that gets your prayer through to God, God the Father in heaven, that Satan can't come against. So, folks, please, when you pray using this method, pray in the name of Jesus. Not in thy name we pray, not in his name we pray, not in Christ's name even we pray, but in the name of Jesus we pray. Or you could say in the name of Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ, that's okay. But make sure that you have Jesus in there, because that's the name with the power. Okay, I think we made our point. Next question. When we say Jesus Christ in prayer, we really mean Jesus the Christ, because Christ is not Jesus' last name. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. We just talked about that. And if you want to go back, and there's many places in Scripture where it talks about Jesus the Christ, and I gave you one right here, Matthew 16:16 and Matthew 16:20, and there's others as well in the Gospels, where it's Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. Christ means Anointed One. Jesus means Savior. Jesus is a name with the power. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay, I'll shut up now. I've made my point. So the answer to that question is true. Next question, true or false? When others are around and I want to pray by this method and I don't want them to hear what I'm praying, I should just pray silently in my mind. True or false? Well, folks, that's false. I know we're in church, and I know we've all heard this. We'll just pray silently. A silent prayer. Folks, silent prayer doesn't get it, okay? I'm sorry if I'm upsetting your apple cart, but nowhere in the Bible is there an example of silent prayer, okay? It's always spoken prayer. Now, it can be quietly, and if you don't want someone else to hear what you're praying, just go somewhere else. Go away from them a little ways and pray silently if you want to, under your breath. But make a little noise, okay? Don't pray in your mind, because there's no power praying in your mind. So the answer to this question is false. Now, why can I say don't pray in your mind? Because, folks, there's no example in the Bible of anyone praying in their mind. It's all through the Bible, folks. It's the spoken word that has power, okay? In Mark 11:23, Jesus said, whoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Folks, when we get saved, how do we do it? We believe in our heart that the Father raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our what? Mind? No, mouth. That Jesus is now our Lord. That's Romans 10:9-10. We confess him with our mouth as Lord, not in our mind. Folks, all through the Bible, it says, how about this one? Death and life are in the power of the mind? No, the tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue of the wise is health, not the mind of the wise is health. Folks, all through the Bible, the power in the Word of God is the spoken Word of God. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the spoken word. Folks, all through the Bible, we get faith, we get power by using the spoken word of God. There's nowhere in the Bible, folks, that says we can pray in our minds. Actually, I'm glad that there isn't, because, you know, we have random thoughts go through our minds sometimes. I'm glad God doesn't take all those as prayer. If I think something about God or even to God, I'm glad that He allows our mind to be a filter. We can think about things, we can eliminate things, and then when we're all done, we can speak what we really mean. So, folks, praying in the mind, silently in our mind, just isn't getting it, okay? So the answer to this question is false. Next question, true or false? If I'm speaking for 15 minutes to a group of people, and you hear the last 1 minute of what I was saying, you'll automatically understand everything I was trying to tell the group. Is that true or false? Well, that's an easy question to answer, isn't it? That's false. You can't come in the last moment of a 15-minute lecture and understand everything that went on in that lecture, can you? So that's false. Now, why did I say that? Well, let's go on to the next question and find out. True or false? When Jesus spoke the words in our text, John 16:23, on how to pray in His name, that verse contained all we need to know to successfully use this method. Why or why not? Well, first of all, that's false. He didn't speak all that we need to know to successfully use this method in that one verse. So that's false, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Why or why not? Well, first of all, folks, as I said in the teaching, if you go back and look, and if for all of you that have Jesus' words in red in your Bible, you'll notice that from John, for five continuous chapters, Jesus was speaking here. And He's in John 16:23, which is our text here, He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you." Now, if that's all He said in this time He was speaking, then that would be all we'd know about it, and we would be responsible for putting that much into practice when we pray with this method. However, because He also mentioned praying in His name earlier in this discussion, we should go back and listen to what He said about praying in His name earlier. So let's go back and find out what He said earlier. Well, actually, let me just delay that for a little bit and just say for now, why or why not? Because He also mentioned praying in His name earlier in this discussion. That's the answer to this why or why not. Now, we will cover what He did say earlier, but let me cover that in the order I've got it here in the homework. So you're not confused. It's false for this true and false answer, and the why or why not is because He also mentioned praying in His name earlier in this discussion. Okay, now, Jesus spoke almost continually for blank chapters in the book of blank. They were chapters blank through chapters blank. He spoke all these things the night blank, blank, blank. Okay, let's answer that question first. Jesus spoke almost continually for five chapters in the book of John. They were chapters 13 through chapter 17. He spoke all these things the night He was betrayed. Okay. Next question, true or false? Therefore, to fully understand what Jesus was saying in John 16:23, we need to read all that Jesus said in these chapters about praying in His name. Is that true or false? That's true. I mean, if we want to understand all that He said about praying in His name, we need to read the rest of it, because He mentions in another place about praying in His name. Let's find out where this is. Give at least one more place in these chapters where Jesus spoke about praying in His name. Well, it's John 15:7 and John 15:16. Now, let me take a little time here and go back and read what Jesus was saying in these chapters. So let me just turn to John chapter 15, and I'm going to read a little bit here, because if I don't, you won't understand how this fits together. So in John 15, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, or pruned, or purged, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now listen, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now listen. He talks about prayer here. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now listen, ask what you will. Let's go back and compare that with John 16:23. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, whatsoever. Here he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That would be a whatsoever, wouldn't it? What you will, whatsoever, and it should be done unto you. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't see his name in here. Well, hold on. And he goes on to speak about this, bearing fruit and all that, and he gets down finally to verse 16, and he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. He's still talking about fruit. This whole chapter 15, he's talking about fruit. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He's saying that our fruit should remain so that when we ask the Father in his name, he may give it you. How does that fruit remain? Well, we just read that back in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If that fruit remains, that what is that fruit? Abiding in him and his words abiding in us, then, according to verse 16, whatsoever we shall ask of the Father, there's the Father praying to the Father, in my name, he may give it you. So see, folks, you got to see the whole thing here together. All of chapter 15, all of chapter 16, he's speaking. It's all red, isn't it? That's Jesus in one big discussion here, talking about a lot of different things. But he does talk about prayer, and he says that this is the way we pray in his name. And so, folks, it's contained in John 15 and John 16. We need to put it all together, okay? We've got part of the requirements of John 16. That is, we must pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he'll give it to us. He reemphasizes that in verse 16, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. And the condition here is that our fruit should remain. How do we get that fruit, and how does it remain? Verse 7 tells us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, whatsoever, and it shall be done unto you. So, the whole point of that is to let us know that there is more. Number one, he said additional things about praying in his name. And number two, he added two more conditions. So what have we learned so far in John 16:23? We must pray to the Father. That's number one. Number two, we must pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's number two, right? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. All right. Number three, we must abide in him. And number four, his words must abide in us. So what does this mean? We better know what this means, because this is part of the requirements for praying in Jesus' name. All right, let me just put some other questions out there first, and we'll get to the answer to this, okay? So name two things he added in these verses to the John 16:23 requirements for praying in his name. Number one, we must abide. What does abide mean? We must live in him. Number two, his words must abide or live in us. So the two things are, we must live in him, his words must live in us. Okay, next question. We Christians make up the body of blank, while blank is the head of the blank. We Christians make up the body of Christ, while Jesus is the head of that body. Okay? So, that's the answer to that question. Next question. To abide or to live in Jesus means we must be in Him, which means to be part of the blank of Christ. To abide in Jesus means we must be in Him, which means to be a part of the body of Christ. So that first condition is to abide in Him. The next that condition is fulfilled when we become a member of the body of Christ. Next question. Therefore, before we can be in His blank, we must accept blank as our blank. Therefore, before we can be in His body, we must accept Jesus as our Savior. So we have an additional condition here for praying in the name of Jesus, and that is we must abide or live in Him, which means we must be a Christian, a born-again Christian. That's how we abide or live in Him. Now, folks, most of you hearing this are born-again Christians. So if you are, you automatically fulfill that requirement. You abide in Him. Now, if we're not Christians, we can't pray in this name. We have no permission to use this name. As a matter of fact, there's an example in the Bible, in Acts, where this man had seven sons, Sceva, and his sons tried to cast out a devil, and they used the name Jesus in whom Paul preaches. They weren't born again. They did not have permission to use this name, and it didn't work. Okay, and that devil just tore them up there and tore all their clothes off. Okay, so we have an example in Acts, if you want to go back and look it up, where a non-Christian tried to use this name and it did not work. So, number one, we must also abide in Him. Now, there was another condition. His words must abide in us. All right, now, how do we fulfill that condition? All right, let's go on to the next question. To have Jesus' words abiding or living in us means we are to make use of every opportunity to hear His word. And I give you a hint. Luke 6:46 to 49. To have Jesus' words abiding or living in us means we are making use of every opportunity to hear His word. Well, folks, that's good. We need to do that, but that's not what it means to have His words abiding or living in us. So that is false. His words don't live in us by just hearing His words. Well, saying, well, why doesn't it? Well, I'll get to that in the next question. Well, let me just think about this for a second. You know, how do His words live in us? Let's go back to James 2:17 and look at that. And it says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Or you might say, faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. Well, what's that got to do with this? Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word. So let's substitute in there for faith, hearing the word. How do we know faith comes by hearing the word? Romans 10:17 tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So since faith comes by hearing the word, and faith without corresponding actions is dead, being alone, by James 2:17, let's just substitute in hearing the word for faith there, and we'll listen to it now. Hearing the word without corresponding action is dead. In other words, not alive in us, being alone. In other words, folks, just hearing the word without acting on the word is dead. It's not living in us. It's not alive. Dead is the opposite of alive. Abide means living in. So, folks, when His words abide in us, we must do more than just hear the words. And our last question puts the whole thing into perspective. His words truly live in us when we blank His words into blank. Folks, His words truly live in us when we put His words into practice. That's when His words live in us. And that hint I gave you at Luke 6:46 to 49 would be good for you to go back and read that. And that's an account of Jesus saying, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" See, they weren't putting into practice the things Jesus said. And He says, don't even call me Lord if you're not doing what my words say. And then He gave us an example of two men. Both men had in common, they heard the word. Only one man did the word. And the man that heard the word but didn't do the word, his house collapsed, didn't it? And was washed away. But the man who heard the word and did it, his house held firm during the storms of life. So folks, the whole example here is hearing the word is not enough. We must put his words into practice to have his words truly living or abiding in us. So folks, to sum up the lesson, here's what we need to do to pray the name of Jesus today as born-again believers correctly. Number one, we must pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So we must pray to the Father, that's number one. Pray to the Father, not to Jesus. We're not to pray to Jesus. We're supposed to praise Jesus, talk to Jesus, love Jesus, everything except pray. We do not pray to Jesus. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, I'm talking about asking for something, okay? Prayer, in its broadest sense, is communication. And that sense, we do pray to Jesus. We do fellowship with him. We do talk to him. But folks, for the prayer of petition, asking for something, if we want to ask for something, we pray the prayer of petition in Jesus' name to the Father. And that's number one. And number two is we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So that's number two, praying in Jesus' name. Number three, we must abide or live in Jesus. We must be born again. That's the third requirement. And number four, his words must live in us. We must be doers of the word. What's the main thing we need to do if we're Christians? We need to walk in love, folks. That's the main commandment that Jesus gave us. He's saying, a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said in John 13:34, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, folks, if we're walking in love, we're putting into practice the word of God. And so the four conditions are, number one, pray to the Father. Number two, pray in Jesus' name. Number three, be born again. And number four, be a doer of the word of God. Those four things put into practice, when you pray the name of Jesus, you will get what you've asked for. And that's the end of this homework lesson.